Core Sound's pad loops help worship leaders instantly and easily fill their worship sound, create seamless transitions, kill dead space, and free themselves to focus on worship. Go to Core, C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com to learn more, try free samples, and get going with pads today. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your next purchase.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. Happy Mother's Day. First
Happy
one to say
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Happy Mother's Day.
Moms everywhere.
Moms everywhere deserve to go to the spa.
Whoa.
What? It's
Some
true.
Moms want ice cream instead.
No, I would like my ice cream at the spa with a steak. Wow. I just went to heaven for a minute, guys.
What about a big old medium rare steak with a big old scoop of ice cream on top of it?
Ew, that's just nasty.
If that ice cream is butter, yes.
Yeah, that would be okay.
It kind of is.
Yeah. Do you guys ever forget Mother's Day?
Never.
Never.
How can you forget Mother's Day?
I am so proud of you, Josh, because a couple years ago, I reminded Clint that it was Mother's Day on our way home from church.
Here comes the bus.
Yeah, we're taking applications for Clint's assistant right now to remind him of all national holidays.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. I was like, hey, you going to call your mom and wish her happy Mother's Day? And he's like, oh, yeah, I better do that. No, really? Are there any other mothers in your life? Like, say the one that birthed your children. But I'm not mad. Man. I'm not mad. I'm full of love.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So if you would like to be Clint's assistant, please send your resume and application to info@nextgenworship.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Just make me a standing reservation at the spa.
Yeah, just keep the spa gift cards flowing, and I'll just, that's a good way to keep yourself covered there, so.
Yeah, no, my kids made me cards, and it was beautiful. It's just that the father of my children forgot that I was the mother of his.
I wonder what the consummate Mother's Day gift is, because, you know, part of my problem is that I'm just following the example of my dad. I remember him one year, he got my mom a weed eater.
Yeah. And the other year he got her a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
Hey, one year he got her a heater.
She still tells these stories and it's a little comical, but you can tell she's a little miffed, you know?
Right.
Hey, I think that I might like a weed eater.
And see, this is why it's so complicated at my house.
Right.
Either want a gift card to the spa or a gift card to Lowe's, which are two polar opposite things, but equally valuable. Well, if you could go to Lowe's and get the massage, that would be perfect.
There you go. That's the rule of thumb. You can buy the vacuum cleaner. Just make sure you have some chocolate and roses as well.
Yeah. Well, flowers or die. Spa. I want, like, you know.
Well, the place I go to get my hair cut and my beard trimmed, they have a little massage spa service going there. Lowe's, what are you doing? Get with the program.
Buy me a miter saw and a massage.
That would be ideal now, wouldn't it? Where are you going, honey? Oh, I just got to run down to Lowe's.
I'll be in aisle 15, maybe then 16. And okay, I'm just going to run to the back and get a little massage while you're there. Text me when you're done.
That'd be cool. It's like, you know, those places where the ladies going shopping and they have the man corner where all the husbands can sit.
Right.
Okay,
right.
It's the opposite. Take your husband to Lowe's and you go get your massage while you're waiting.
Lowe's, come on with it.
Lowe's Home Improvement and Day Spa.
So good.
So we're excited this week to have on the program the legendary Rita Springer is with us. She's going to be hanging out the next couple of weeks. And today, when we come back, we're going to be talking about Jesus, our defender. So excited about this program. He's dropping all kinds of nuggets in our hearts. So Rita Springer coming up later in the show.
Loving others doesn't mean that you practice tolerating them.
It means that you are an active participator in fighting for justice in their lives. It means that you're now a fighter for their dreams, their greatness, and the treasures inside of them to be fully displayed. Are you offended when people do well? Are you shipwrecked when others become great? You were created to display His brilliance, and that always includes helping others to shine brighter than yourself. Surround yourself with people greater than you, people that do exploits, and people who know how to shine. Not for the sake of climbing a ladder, but so that you can become great at championing others also. After all, that's what the great ones do.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're going to continue our conversation with Rita Springer, who's on the program with us today. We're talking about activating the next generation next week. Today, we're talking about Jesus, the Defender.
Wow.
Yeah, this is incredible. And we were just sitting here having a conversation amongst ourselves and just got wrecked. This idea of Jesus the Defender, we're actually borrowing this from one of Rita's songs because it is so impactful, and we're going to play a clip from that in the interview with her. But this idea of Jesus the Defender is a little bit like this, that when we worship, we are summoning an army into battle from another realm. So you get this picture of, you know, chaos maybe around us, or our world is in chaos, or like, what is happening? But what is our response? Our response is not to be fearful. Our response is not to be fretful. Our response is not to join the chaos. Our response is to worship. And when we worship, heaven stands at the battle line for all of our lives and for our destiny.
I think it's so powerful. You know, when you're in pain, when your heart is aching or you're going through something that's excruciating and difficult, it can be so hard. You feel that thing rise up in you that wants to start like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And you want to start like striving and taking control and fixing it, fix it, fix it. And really, the Lord is the one who battles. The Lord is the one who goes to war for us. And we participate in that. We participate in that battle by resting. We participate by worshiping. We participate by standing still and watching the victory unfold in front of us.
It's so good. I love how David in the Psalms always refers to the Lord as my fortress, my strong tower, the one who I run to and will be saved. The Lord surrounds us in a stronghold that protects us from the enemy. You know, that stronghold is the fruit of joy. And when we stay in that place of joy, it's really hard to get anxious about anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because when you're in a state of joy and rest, we can actually see things from a perspective of hope. Whenever we are joyful and we know that He's protecting us, we know that He's going to provide for us. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord that sees to it. Mm-hmm. He's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of us. We're His.
Yeah. Well, in this rest topic can be a tricky bit, because the first thing that comes to mind is I'm going to take a nap and abdicate my responsibility. And you see that all the time. While I'm at rest, no, honey, you're actually just abdicating your responsibility. But true rest is partnership.
Yeah.
And when you partner with heaven, it is restful, because as we partner, He does warfare. So it's not really us doing warfare. And Paul talks about that. You know, I'm not beating the air like a madman. We're taking a responsibility through prayer. We're taking a responsibility through worship. And that as we pray and as we worship and as we steward the strength or the fortress of that heavenly connection, where we stand on this earthly ground, released in that is heaven's answers to problems that we face personally, families, our city, our nation, and the world. This last house fires, I'm just now thinking of this, we had communion. And as we took our time with communion and then we all had it together, all of a sudden, I just started getting words of knowledge about circumstances that were immediately turning in that moment. Bodies were being healed. One of the striking words that came to me was, kids who had been far away and even rebelling were now turning around and coming back because of our worship. Our worship turned the battle.
And I've been thinking about a lot lately the fact that God, he's eternal, right? So he sees everything from before and as far into the future as my, you know, physical body will go and beyond. So the problem or the situation that I'm encountering now, he had the solution stepping into place before it even occurred.
Right.
That's how much we can trust him.
And it just corrects course on spiritual warfare so much. I mean,
yeah.
You see people that address spiritual warfare with this, we got to kick the devil's butt, right? Very rarely did Jesus speak to Satan.
Yeah.
He may speak to Satan's influence in a certain situation or somebody said something and he addressed him, and he addressed him in the wilderness when he was by himself. But most of the time, Jesus was in a spirit of doing the Father's will and really didn't recognize the enemy that much, because whenever you're in the Father's will, you have a force field. Whenever you're in a state of worship, when you're in a lifestyle of worship, you are completely protected from the enemy. And he may still try to get in, but flailing our arms about and rebuking the enemy and really giving him a whole lot of attention he doesn't deserve.
Yeah.
Get into that position of worship, man, we would see the enemy at bay a lot more in our lives.
Yeah. Well, we were actually just talking about this earlier, and you said that Holy Spirit spoke to you. You got that surprise look that you get when you have a download.
Yeah.
That was really good. Why don't you
mention it? Well, you were describing what it looks like when heaven's front stands before you and holds the enemy back, holds the enemy at bay. And I saw this, you know, this angelic army and Holy Spirit, the commander on the white horse, you know, and Jesus just defending us, and nothing could get past this huge army. I just felt him turn and look at me and say, many of my children are telling me to stand down and allowing the enemy through the front line. So we kind of analyze that a little bit. Really, whenever we give commands to the army of heaven, we are taking the position of commander. We're really forfeiting his position as Lord over our lives. And that allows things to come through.
Yeah.
Because he's a humble Lord. And really, we have an authority to say, go get him, Jesus. We have an authority and a position of preservation that we can say, I'm here and I'm protected. Go for it, Jesus. I'm partnering with you. Go get him.
The other part I love about this is the fact, and it's actually one of the lines from Rita's song. And the line goes something like this: when I thought I lost myself, you came and put the pieces back together. So he is so good at getting us from where we are to where we need to be. And it doesn't always seem like it makes sense logically, but that trust factor, that lordship, you know, when he is actually the commander of our life and we are partnership with him, man, somehow it just works out. And we have so many promises like that of things working for our good. Even David talks about that his blessings will overtake me. And so you see this picture of a pursuing Jesus. He's always in pursuit. And when you live a lifestyle of worship, you discover Jesus, the defender, Jesus, the pursuer. We have to do our part. Our part is worship. Our part is prayer. Our part is co-laboring with heaven to see it released into the earth. Jesus is pursuing the earth. Why else did he come?
Yeah.
Right? He's pursuing us before we even knew we needed him.
And tying that in, the partnership with the rest that you spoke about earlier, I think about Jesus saying, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden. Those of that are working really, really hard, striving, and I will give you rest. And what does that look like? It looks like work, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So the thing is it, why it's easy and light is because he's in it with us. He's yoked with us and we're partnering with him. Work is still required, but it's a whole lot easier when we partner with him.
Right.
And that's what rest looks like.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think for me, one of the hardest things when Clint was talking about trust, that trust can be a big battle for people to be willing to just lay that down and let someone else fight for you and trust that they have the victory. That can be really difficult because we want control. We want to fix it. We want to take up our sword and fight our own battle. But when we do that, that's when we let the enemy through, which is a sneaky little thing. You know, you think you're fighting, but really you're not. You're letting the enemy through. That process of just trusting and feasting at the table in the presence of your enemies, trusting that you can sit down and be with Jesus and all that in the background is taken care of. That's really difficult for people.
And that's why it's so important for worship leaders and leaders in the body of Christ to understand what madly in love worship looks like. You know, we're not after a performance. We are after lovers who are madly going after Jesus, who are completely overtaken and enraptured with his heart. And when you get worship that looks like that, you get heaven's full participation.
Yeah.
And that is incredibly exciting.
Well, when you're standing in that place of preservation and you're protected by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and his mighty army from heaven, and you're cheering him on, that's worship.
Yeah.
That's praise. That's saying, you are the King of Kings. You are the victorious one. You are the one that fights my battles.
Yeah.
Thank you for the way you fight for me.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little drop for dust in there.
Yeah.
That's his win.
But it is. It's worship. It's worship whenever we give him charge. We say, you're in charge, Lord. You're in charge. Take care of us. And that's when heaven comes to earth. That's when the armies of heaven come to earth on our behalf and shift the landscape.
Yeah. Well said.
I'm so excited about this interview with Rita Springer. We're going to talk a little bit more about Jesus the Defender. It's part one of a two-part interview. Next week, we'll be diving in to activating the next generation, and Rita will be on the program with us next week as well. Stick around. More to come.
So I've been using pads in worship for like 4 or 5 years, and I remember when they first came out, very popular, like it's a new thing. There's only like one pad set available. So I downloaded them and it's like, wow, this is great. And just by default, I just use those forever. You know, it's like, you know, people come out with different pads and like, hey, this is great. Well, I've already got some. Why do I need new ones? Until we heard about Core Sound pads. And then I checked them out and found out they had all these different varieties. And so I tried them out at the last 24-hour worship gathering that we had in our city. And I was actually going through and finding the actual set of pads that sounded best with the type of music I was doing, the songs I was doing. And that was so awesome because it wasn't, you know, me making do with an ambient pad set in the background that may or may not quite match. And every now and then it sounds like it's off, you know. But when we used the Core Sound pads, man, I was able to kind of tailor the sound I wanted for the set I was doing, which was way beyond anything that I was used to before.
Go to coresoundpads.com. That's C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your bundle today.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're diving into activating the next generation with Rita Springer, and we're fortunate enough to have her on the program with us today for part one of her interview, Jesus, Our Defender.
All right, Rita, thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Absolutely.
You know, you're such an inspiration to so many people, not only in the worship realm, but in the kingdom of God, and my wife and I certainly have been inspired by you over, you know, the 20 plus years that we've been leading worship. So it's really an honor to have you on with us today.
I love it. I love being able to just talk openly and freely about stuff I love to talk about. So it's an honor to be able to do it for you.
Great. Well, I want to dive into a little bit of your history. A lot of people know your name, but maybe have lost connection with you over the years. For those people, let's catch them up to speed. Let's talk about a short history of, you know, what you've been doing and maybe current season of your life.
Well, I mean, for the last 5 years, I relocated from Charlotte, North Carolina, where I had been living for almost 10 years. I moved to Dallas, Texas to be part of Gateway Church, the staff here in the worship department. I came on staff in July of 2012 as artist in residence. So Carrie Jo was here as well, and so it was just kind of a whole different season that kind of opened up to be on staff of a church. I've never been on staff or paid staff of a church before. And so that kind of started really kind of gearing and settling more, mentoring and raising people up kind of in my heart.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I've loved that.
Let's talk about your latest release, Battles.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised by the title because the previous Rita Springer experience has been very, you know, immersive and very vertical. I was like, ooh, Battles. So tell us about that.
I honestly didn't think that at this stage of my life that I would necessarily ever wanted to record again, record like a record again. Everyone that I've ever done was a personal journey. I take things super personal. So I really was never part of a record label, but more of an indie record label for years that contract you to do a certain amount of albums. And for me, my personality is that I don't do anything without intention. About a couple years ago, I was actually flying into Sacramento to be part of a gathering in Bethel Music and was taking that drive from Sacramento up to Redding, California. And just kind of out of the blue, the Lord just said, I want you to record another album. And honestly, I got really nauseous and, and so physically sick that I had to pull off to the side of the road because I knew it was the Lord and it wasn't anything that I was thinking about at the time. And it wasn't a desire of my heart to write songs, absolutely, to, you know, record songs or to still sing or to lead worship. I've been doing that and still love doing that. But to actually put intention in a record again, I just didn't have that left in me for a lot of different reasons. And I really, you know, yeah, when I pulled off to the side of the road, I knew that the Lord didn't want to talk about this next record. He really wanted to talk about the feelings that came with the thought of doing that record. And that's really why he brought it up. And so he really just began to pick apart my disappointment and to really go deep with me about this big pool of mixture of emotions with, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to record? Like, I don't think I realized at that point that I was needing a lot of healing. And so I think for me, Battles was not like this last hurrah, but it was an answer to the Lord. It was my yes to God. If this is what you're asking me to do, then how do you want me to do this? And Gateway published the album. They'd come to me, you know, about a year later, and they were like, do you want to do this? And I just kind of looked at them because, you know, I'm older, and I just was like, oh, let me raise up somebody here. Like, we've got some voices here. And really, there were just some really profound pastors here at the worship department that so believe in me. And so I just said to them, if you want me to do this, then you need to let me do it the way God's asking me to do it.
Yeah.
And it's going to have me doing things the way God's asking me to do it because I don't want in-house production. I want to use relationship and community and all of those things that I think worship is. And so when I started writing with people, it's fascinating to be in a room with these young writers and see how they see life. Mm-hmm. And then to feel their respect and to have them say things to me that I don't even feel, like just their honor of me. And just to really recognize that all the former records that I've ever done said something to a lot of different worship leaders because of the honor that I've received with it really kind of blew my mind.
Yeah.
And so we started writing these songs and I had these songs on my heart to write outside of the worth it all format, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand your ways, but I'm just going to tell you that you're worth it. And you know, those courageous lyrics that are kind of that in between stage of, I really don't get this, but I'm going to praise you anyway.
Yeah.
Which is where I had been. You know, the I have to believe, you know, I'm going to declare this because the scripture says to declare this. And this record was more like, no, I'm going to say that he's already there winning the war. And this time, if I have to go onto the field, I'm going onto the field knowing that the enemy's about to throw up the white flag because he's going to have to surrender. And that was a different stage of the game for me. So I could have called the record Victory. But I realized that when people look at battles the way I look at battles, they stare at the fight and they wonder about the victory. They know what the scripture says, but they're staring at a fight. And I think it was important to start writing songs that really talk about, no, if you want to talk about the fight, watch how this guy fights for you. You know, if you want to talk about, you know, heads rolling off of demons, he can dissolve your demons right out of the room.
Yeah.
And so I know that's a lot impacted in there, but the Lord had given me a word years ago that said, greater are the things that you'll do in the latter part of your life than you've ever done in the former.
Wow.
And you know, when you're an artist, you're like, right, Lord, that's so sweet. You're such a sweet guy. Because we all know that when an artist gets to a certain age, especially if you're a woman, you're not really talked about much anymore. And so there's just that thing that just sits on our shoulders all the time that says, well, you know, we're getting up there and better figure out something else to do. I don't feel like I had to prove anybody wrong. I felt like the Lord was saying to me, if you want to sit and die and not know what I want to give you in the latter part of your life, you can do that. But I'm telling you, your greatest days are ahead. And I just stood up to believe that I could make the best record of my life in my late 40s than I'd ever done in my 20s.
Wow.
And he did it. And he did it.
Wow. So much of that so resonates. And I feel like you've been fighting for the real in worship for so many years. And to me, that's where the honor has been given to you, because you've stayed true to it. The presence of God is still abundantly, lavishly pouring out of it. I wondered if there was a song on Battles that kind of summed up that journey. I don't know if there's a song that talks about that a little bit that brought you through it, or just one of the songs in general that you really like there.
Each one of those songs has really great things, but I think the song that inspired me the most was the song Defender. And I had met this kid in Reading several years ago. JP Gentile is his name. He's a writer up there. He's a musician. And I'd met him in a coffee shop up there at the church. And I met him because a young gal that was going to the school and had been up there for a while that I'd known since she was 3 years old wanted me to meet her for coffee, and she wanted me to meet this guy she liked. And so I was doing the mom one over, you know, on this kid. When I sat down at the coffee shop and this young man was there, my heart just shattered for this kid. Like, I just saw the hope of God on his life, and I could feel literally the blood of Christ just overwhelming me with how he loved this kid. And so I was so drawn to tell this kid what the Lord thought of him. And so, you know, in one part of that weekend, I was able to sit down with them and just share with them some of the words that the Lord had given me. And you know, he'd struggled with relationship with his own mother. And so they were started this kind of mentoring relationship where he'd just call, like he'd call his mom, you know, and he would just say, I don't understand this and I don't understand this. And so I would just try to walk him through some of the gates of questions, and we'd have these long philosophical discussions, and because he's just this brilliant brain. And so I pulled him in last February to write with him, because you kind of want to write with people like that, because they're poets in their own right, but the literature in their brains is so captivating that if you can pull depth in conversation out of them, then you know there's got to be, you know, lyrics out there. And he's a percussion player, and so percussion players are always fascinating to write with, because they come to the table with really beautiful rhythms.
You go before I know that you've even gone to win my war. You come back with the head of my enemy. You come back and you call it my victory. Oh, you go before I know that you've even gone to win my war. Your love becomes my greatest defense. It leads me from the dry wilderness, and all I did was pray. All I did was worship. All I did was bow down. All I did was stay still.
that line about he comes back with the head of my enemies, you know, it's kind of brutal line.
You
know,
I love
it's
it.
it's not sung in a brutal way. You know, there are some songs that you could have that line in it that people couldn't probably really take because it's sung in a kind of a harsh way. And when he sang that line, I just was like, there's something here, there's something here, there's something here. And so that was the song that was really unfinished until the day before we recorded live. We knew we couldn't give up on that song because we knew that that song had something to say. And I think the reason I love Defender so much is because I've met so many prodigals. And in this millennial era, there are so many kids who have left the sanctuary of intimacy with Christ for this blasé Christianity and this watered-down grace. There's just this height of internal wandering that's happened. I just felt like that the most beautiful thing that a wanderer could realize is that it had a defender. And I think that song is the one I'll still play on repeat all the time because, you know, I think all of us could say that at one part in our life or some point in our life, we've just felt lost and that there were pieces of tragedies that just created pieces in our heart. So I think every line of that song resonates with truth in people that, you know, whether you're a prodigal that you've run, you know, like the prodigal in the Bible, or you're this prodigal that has just kind of wandered from real truth and real faith and real sanctuary of what the blood of Christ actually means, the defender still will stand up and defend you and take out your enemy, even the enemy that assaults your belief system, which I think is a big deal right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my soapbox.
No, well said. I'll tell you what, let's come back next week. Let's talk about the diet of creative. Let's talk about, you know, what God's saying through your life. And let's talk about some of your dreams for the future.
Thanks for asking.
So good to have Rita on the program. We will visit with her again next week as we talk about activating the next generation. You definitely don't want to miss it. We'll see you then on the Next Gen Worship broadcast.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.